Okay, no problem. So we got three, we're good to go. I don't know, we'll bring it, Ray asked a question. She's gone.
Griffin Tech. I see Jim Griffin's at Hightail. Well, his name keeps popping up.
That's why he left, he got a conflict.
You're gonna have to make a judgment call, Dora.
Well, we're gonna have this problem with full-time legal counsel.
Yeah, go get Whistle, my boy Whistle back.
Whatever.
Yes, ma'am. Okey dokey.
Okay, let me greet you by saying, I guess, good afternoon. My name is Elva D. Allen, and I've waited patiently for the open discussion.
Yes, ma'am.
Part of this. Let me introduce a couple of people that are with me, and also I'm waiting for two more to come in. Excuse me. I'd like to introduce you to A. Martin Conaway, Andrew Martin Conaway, 79 years old. I would like to introduce you also to his sister, excuse me, Evelyn M. Conaway, who's 77. Two other people will be joining us. And as I think, as I said, my name is Elva D. Allen. I reserve the right not to give my age.
That's that woman thing, I understand. Okie dokie.
I'll mention everyone else's age, but not mine.
Yes, ma'am.
Often in council meetings, we talk about new developments. This time, I'm going to be talking about some property that's been in the Conaway family at least since 1929. I have read the deed that goes back to 1929 regarding the Conaway property. Now, if you don't mind, so that I can speed up this process here, I'm going to cover largely what's on these four pages here, and then you can look quickly at the documents.
Okay.
Excuse me. In a February 26, 1958 deed, Robert J. Conaway gave 1.92 acres of property to Anna W. Wigan, but it was Anna W. Conaway, it was his daughter, and or Willie T. Wigan, her husband. Copy attached.
Okay.
That would be in the back. That's this nice handwritten deed.
That's in the back.
1958 deed.
Okay.
The property is located on 231 West State Street in Millsboro, Delaware. Anna and William, but also called Willie Wigan and Wiggins. So in any documents, please make sure you get your name spelled correctly. Made application for a marriage license on May 24th, 1956 in the circuit court in Wicomico County, Maryland. Made application for a marriage license. There is no evidence or record of a marriage license. Anna and William, Willie Wiggins, lived on the 1.92 acres of property until her death, August 17th, 1978. And I should also say that Robert J. Conaway, her father, died in 1961. I forgot to add that, just so you'll know when he died. Now, on February 11th, 1980, William T. Wiggins, hired attorney James D. Griffin, Griffin and Hackett Law Firm, to draft and record a 1980 quitclaim deed, and that deed is attached. I put the little circle on it so you could easily find it. The 1980 quitclaim deed. Willie Wiggins wanted only his lifetime interest or rights to property delineated in that deed as follows. 1/3 interest in tract one. The reason it was 1/3 is because Robert J. Conaway had three children, Anna, Lavinia, and William. So that one, they're sharing the 1/3 of 13.59 acres. And that is identified as parcel one. As parcel one. Now, for it says all that, and this is tract two, all that certain tract, piece, parcel of land lying between lying and being in Dagsboro 100 and lying on the northerly side of the road from Georgetown to Millsboro, also known as State Street extended near the town of Millsboro. That's the 1.92 acres of property. And consisting of an unimproved lot having dimensions 50 by 250 feet. There are two parcels of property described in Tract 2. Also, for tax purposes, the assessment tax purposes, that's District 1-33, Map 17.09, Parcel 8. So I'm hoping you'll circle that on your papers, because I need to come back to that. Two parcels of property in Tract 2. One parcel of property in Tract 1. Now, I'd also like you to look a little farther down. Somewhere here it says, this deed is given for the purpose of releasing said interest completely and forever. So Willie T. Wiggins, and if you'll note there, the Conaways, the five Conaways, two of whom are sitting right there, their names are on this deed, but all five of the Conaway siblings' names are on this deed. Well, you can come back to that anytime you would like to.
Yes. Yeah, could you just give us a reason? Tell us what you're here for. That's you're okay. Tell us all this information, but
yes.
I don't know why I'm listening yet.
Because a lot is going on out there. Not only do we deal with new developments and so forth
right.
with regards to land, but also a lot's going on out there with regards to people who own property and who have lived on that property a long time. Their property was sold right out from under them, although they hold the deed to the property. I made sure I walked in here with all these notebooks and all this information here
right.
because they have been involved in a number of court suits, Chancery Court, Superior Court.
Have those courts made decisions?
No, they haven't. But if I may continue, I'll tell you why. You notice they're senior citizens and minorities.
Right.
Our history's not real great with the courts. I'll mention something, if you will allow me to tell you what has already happened with a particular court, Superior Court, and why it's important that we get this information out. There has been secrecy attached to all of this. I'm surprised that a number of people do not know that this has happened to these five senior citizens here who live in Sussex County, okay? They've worked all of their lives.
Tell me, what happened?
Their property was sold right out from under them, even though they hold this 1985 quitclaim deed. And I will tell you how it was done. Do you mind if I kind of...
Yeah, but I'm trying to... What I'm wondering why... I mean, we're not a court. We can't...
No.
It's in court, and we're the county. How can the county council
help you?
Help.
Because an individual who was largely responsible for this serves on your council. I read this in the paper. No, he is the county solicitor. He
left the empty seat.
He's the county solicitor. Yes, he represents county government.
Right,
has been doing so for
right.
quite some time.
Yes.
You can't imagine the pain that that brought to us when we read that in a paper and found out he was reappointed. He represents county government and the council. So I am a little bit kind of upset about this, but I think the information needs to get out. They've kept it out of the newspapers. When I say they, the lawyers involved, you know, I've even given them the lawyers' names. They've called the lawyers. The lawyers simply say a few disgruntled people, and they won't put anything about it in the newspaper, various newspapers.
Okay.
We have all that documented. I felt as though it was important for the council to take a look at some of your citizens and residents and people you don't usually hear from. That individual there, A. Martin Conaway, was good enough to transport children back and forth to school. He's worked all of his life. Evelyn M. Conaway worked 32 years for Stokely Center, never missed a day, and never used her Blue Cross benefits. The other two will be coming in a few minutes. I'll mention a couple of things about them. But it's important for the council to know not only about the new developments, but let's take a look at how some people are treated who have lived in Sussex County all of their lives. Now, the other two brothers live on the western shore. You'll see where it says Robert Conaway and Ernest Conaway.
I believe somebody's coming in.
They live on the western shore.
Now, is there something you would like to see the council be able to do?
Yes, sir. And it's kind of at the end of this paper. And it won't take me. Trust me, I talk fast.
No, I know, but I'm just, a lot of it we can't help you with. And
I think you can help with this, though.
Okay.
Come right on up front, please, real quickly.
She's moving.
I mean, the youngest one. Oh, the youngest. Sorry. All right, this is Mabel. This is Mabel H. Conaway, my half-sister. I have the extended family. She's 70 years old. And that's Betty Conaway, Martin's wife. She's 77. Now, if I may just continue here with a few things, because I know I can cover this in about 10 minutes. I asked you to look at the quitclaim deed, okay? And I'll just skip through some of that. That's why I've written a lot of this. But if you count, there are three parcels identified in that quitclaim deed. 1.92 acres is one of them. Willie T. Wiggins lived on that property until he he began to cohabitate with Eloy Stouty sometime between 1982 and 83. Willie continued to live with Eloy on the 1.92 acres. I said that twice, I'm sorry. There's no evidence of a marriage between Eloy Stouty and Willie Wiggins. Okay? So I hope you hold on to that. In 1986, Willie hired attorney Steve Parsons to draft the 1986 will. In that will, Willie gave the 1.92 acres of property to Eloy Stouty and her children. Willie Wiggins did not rescind, revoke, or draft a new deed giving the property to Eloy Stouty and her children. A will is not a deed. Eloy Stouty and her children do not have a deed to the 1.92 acres of property with their names on it. That's what's so important. Also, Eloy Stouty, what would have been Linda Hawkins, the daughter, tried to use their 1994 deed. On April 11th, 1994, Evelyn M. Conaway went to the Griffin and Hackett law firm and inquired about her rights to the 1.92 acres of property. In an April 20th, 94 appointment, it says, it was scheduled, and you can read at the top, it's an inner office memo. It says real quickly there, she was interested in her rights. She said something about some kind of marriage and so forth. She didn't know all the details, but she made inquiry regarding this.
Now, were Mr. Hackett and Griffin, were they representing you guys? Or were
they representing A. Martin Conaway and Evelyn M. Conaway.
Okay.
They also settled Anna's estate in 78.
Okay. So they were working for you at Toast Fund.
That's correct. Well, 78. And then definitely in 94, that's what this letter establishes, this inner office memo. You can also see there that there was, that's the 11th she was in there, the 20th, the meeting was scheduled, and you can see the follow-up letter, okay? And so you all can read some of that. Sorry about all my handwritten notes there, but they say a lot. I'll mention a few other things. You may notice there that in that 26 letter, a lot was discussed, but not generally what she wanted to know. Evelyn wanted to know about her rights to the 1.92 acres of property. One sec. Oh, and Martin and his wife can attest to the fact that they asked the attorneys Griffin and Robinson about his rights to said property numerous times and paid for those professional services. Through numerous appointments and letters, A. Martin Conaway and Evelyn M. Conaway paid attorneys Griffin and Robinson. And there are a lot of letters and a lot of correspondences beginning with 1994, okay, through 204, even to 205. After Willie Wiggins' death in 93, Eloy Stouty Wiggins continued to live on the 1.92 acres of property until her death on February 9, 2001. Eloise died intestate without a will. There's no evidence. It required a court proceeding for her children to be substituted as heirs. We can't find any evidence of that court proceeding at all, where her children were substituted to act as heirs. That would be Linda Hawkins, Sterling Doughty, Laverne Maddox, and also Clyde Doughty Jr. Okay, so we're at the point where Eloy Stouty Wiggins died. She took the name Wiggins. We can find no evidence where she married Willie Wiggins. And they have asked for that. They've asked for that in writing. When I say they, I mean Martin Conaway and I mean Evelyn Conaway. They've asked for that in writing from attorneys Griffin and Robertson.
Is that in Wicomico County?
No.
No?
Okay. No evidence of them marrying anywhere. That this would be Willie Wiggins and Eloy Stouty, okay? Now, the Conaways have found, which is what I said, have found no legal proceedings or documentation whereby Linda Hawkins and siblings were officially sanctioned to act as heirs. Attorney Paul E., it should be Paul G. Enterline, I believe it is, wrote to Emily Farley that he was prepared to substitute them as heirs, but there's no evidence the Conaways have located indicating that occurred. Eloise Dowdy, Linda's mother, died February 9th, 2009. Linda Hawkins, now here's something that's going on in Sussex County and the county row offices. Linda Hawkins did not turn in the inventory of her mother's estate until August 12th, 2004. That's 3.5 years. The mother died in 2001. The inventory of the estate was not turned in, okay, until August 12th, 2004. You can get a 3-month continuance and an extension, maybe another one, and maybe another one. You're still in 2001. Year 201, August 12th, 204, she turned in those papers. And I'm going to skip a little bit of that. And here's what I think is interesting. Attorneys James D. Griffin, Vince G. Robinson, Vincent G. Robinson, and Griffin and Hackett Law Firm, in an August 13 letter, dated August 13, 204 letter, resigned as A. Andrew Martin Conaway and Evelyn Conaway's attorneys. One day after Linda Hawkins and Sterling Dowdy turned in the inventory of the estate that they should have turned in a long time ago. So you see that letter there. Also, in situations and to letters to ODC, attorney Vincent G. Robinson has said he never represented Evelyn Conaway. We have letters that prove that he did represent Evelyn Conaway because we have a lot of correspondence, you know, that can prove what we're saying.
Did you ever, I guess, mail checks in? Did they bill you?
Yes, we have some records
If they billed you, it would seem like they were working for you.
We have records of billing. Okay. While I'm thinking about it real quickly, Vincent G. Robinson, I believe it was, came out to visit the property, said he never charged for it. The bill shows that he did charge for it. We have the evidence.
Okay, well, county can't do much about that, but...
Okay, let me, if I can just continue.
I don't know if it is.
If I may just get to the... We waited. Look, we're dealing with people from 79 to 70. It's only 4 pages. That's all we're asking. You never hear from folks who look like us.
No, I understand, but I just wonder if the background information is necessary because I skipped to the end and I see what you're asking.
Okay.
And you're basically suggesting that Griffin and Hackett are not qualified to represent the county because of the way they handled this. And you may have a point. And I'm just wondering if maybe we could turn this over to someone within the county separate from that legal arm of the county that could talk to your family in private and get more information?
Or well,
do you really have a passion for...
I have a passion for finishing this, if you don't mind. And I'm going to kind of say a few things quickly. I want to make sure I mention the names of the attorneys who were involved in the sale and the purchasing of this and so forth. And if you'll just bear with me. Linda Hawkins sold December 16th, if you'll just kind of circle that date. December 16th, 2005. And I made sure I included that deed. It has a half circle on it. It was drafted by attorney Steve Parsons. That's the sale of the property, the 1.92 acres. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot wrong with that deed there. First of all, Linda Hawkins' name should not even be on it, and Parker Enterprises profit sharing should not be on it. You have to certify that the deed entitled to a property is free and clear. You can't sell it without doing that. If you'll look at the second page of that, which is so important, which is what mentions it here, it says, the said Anna W. Wiggin, having departed this life on August 17th, 1978, intestate, and by operation of law, her interest in the subject property passed unto her children, namely, all 5 of the Conaways' names are listed there. The property was sold. The Conaways weren't even contacted. You and I both know that that's illegal. A crime occurred there with the sale of that property. somebody, and Paul G. Enterline, attorney Paul G. Enterline, acted, represented the seller, I'm sorry, the buyer, Linda represented the seller, Linda Hawkins. Attorney Stephen Parsons represented Parker Enterprises, profit sharing plan. There's a lot going on and going wrong here. You can read some of this. They were paid in cash, $180,000 for somebody else's property that they didn't even own. Linda Hawkins was filing bankruptcy at the same time, okay? The same time the property was being sold. That's really strange when that property, when you're going to use cash and hide all this stuff. The other thing is, you know him as Jackie Parker, John H. Parker, Parker Enterprises profit sharing, in less than 5 weeks, tried to resell their property for $300,000 and said that it could be subdivided, and I provided all that to you there, that it could be subdivided. Schwartz, Patterson Schwartz Real Estate. Checked off a few things there. $300,000 in less than 5 weeks. And it said waterfront, okay? The house is of no value. You can't say that about somebody else's house. That's their home place. Can be subdivided into five lots. Were they going to pay $300,000 for each of those five lots? Look how entangled this would have been if we hadn't stopped this. The Conaways had to file pro se. They checked with 18 lawyers in Sussex County and nobody would take their case. That's sad. They knew what was going on, just as most of us here know what's going on. You can read this and you can tell what's going on. Somebody wanted their property and they did whatever they had to take their property from them. What makes me so angry is we couldn't get a word of this out in any of the newspapers and so forth. Well, I know we can get it out nationally. I'm pretty sure of that. There are some national organizations that will come down here from New York and come from other places and interview these Conaways and so forth. But you can look at some of that. There was ongoing fraud from 94 to at least 204. Those Conaways, those two there, they were senior citizens the entire time. Paid the Griffin and Hackett law firm and specifically paid attorney James D. Griffin, and in 202 started paying Vincent G. Robinson. James D. Griffin, attorney James D. Griffin, drafted that 1980 quitclaim deed. He knows whether that deed included two parcels of property or three parcels of property. It's real easy to figure out. Tract 1, 13.59, that's one parcel. Tract 2 would be two parcels. The 1.92 and a lot. Not hard to figure out. All right, I'm on page 3 now. I'll skip through some of this. I mentioned about the 18 attorneys. We didn't just call them. We went through the Delaware Bar Association and the referral services. They called us and said they can't find lawyers in Sussex County to help us. We did. We were lucky enough to find one brave soul in Kent County. She will only take the Chancery Court side of the case. The Conaways are still fighting the Superior Court side of the case, and July 18th just filed a notice of appeal to take the decision that Judge Vaughn rendered, a summary judgment in favor of attorney James D. Griffin and Vince Robinson. Well, that's being appealed. No brighter than I am, no smarter than I am. Judge Vaughn got something correct when he said that there are three parcels of property in that 1980 quitclaim deed. But he got a lot of other information wrong. I have critiqued Judge Vaughn's summary judgment, and I'm not even finished yet. I found 9 errors in his factual statements, and I'm not finished yet. That's why they're going to appeal that. Also, Judge Vaughn said there were three parcels, and you'll see where I included that, in the 1980 quitclaim deed. And I'm a little bit out of order here, but you'll see it if you take the time to read this. It says, granted summary judgment, and somewhere in here it says, for all relevant purposes on page 3, they have always been three separate parcels bearing the just designations. And whether he called it parcel 8 or parcel 6, he still included the 1.92 acres of property in the 1980 quitclaim deed. I'll just mention a few more things, and I'll take some questions. They're waiting for Judge Noble to render his decision.
When do you expect that?
We don't know, because we're getting a big-time runaround. What happened was, in the Superior Court, Attorney James Griffin and Attorney Vince G. Robinson used this tactic here of summary judgment with collateral estoppel. Collateral estoppel usually doesn't apply until a lower decision has been rendered, and it hasn't been rendered. Also, in that summary judgment hearing, just from my own handwritten notes, the summary judgment hearing was March 28th, 2008. By March 31st, I had sent Judge Vaughn a letter, just from my notes, indicating four or five times, I know distinctly Attorney James D. Griffin did not tell the truth, because he continued to say two parcels of property in that deed. He knows it's not correct, and I know it's not correct. We have the transcripts. Thank heavens we have gotten the transcripts. And there are other, not only, that's not the only thing he said in that summary judgment hearing that wasn't untrue. He said a number of things in that summary judgment hearing that wasn't true. Okay? So we're fighting this battle through the courts and so forth, but now we also must go public with this. If I may just go another couple minutes. And I'm skipping around, but I'm going to hit the high points. I know that. Oh, you'll see where Judge Noble. Also, I should say this. We tried to expedite this hearing and all this stuff. We didn't want to go through all of this. We didn't want to file court cases, and they filed pro se. March 14th, 2006. Judge Noble could have looked at that 1980 quitclaim deed and interpreted it the same way Judge Vaughn did. There are three parcels of property in that deed. It doesn't make sense to have that much information. I didn't even bring it all. There are still a few things at home that I did not bring regarding this. I gave you the names of the court cases and all of that. I'm on page 3, and I'm going to skip on down. You know, filed notice, but there are other things. I read that statement about Judge Vaughn on page 3, second dot from the bottom. For all relevant purposes, they have always been three separate parcels bearing these just designations. Under the facts section, you can look at some of that, because now I'm just really skipping around. I don't care whether you call the property parcel 8 as it was first delineated in the 1980 quitclaim deed, or if you call it parcel 6 is still the 1.92 acres of property. On page 4, real quickly, you can kind of skim the top of it, that bit about two parcels. No, there were three parcels. I put some copies of the transcript in here so you can read parts of the transcript. It's a 27-page transcript. I did not make copies of all 27 pages, but I made enough copies so you can easily see that James D. Griffin, he was the one who did most of the talking at the summary judgment hearing on March 28, 2008, and Attorney Vincent G. Robinson attested to everything that he said.
Now, ma'am, but down to your last paragraph, Mr.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You said you should, the law firm, Griffin Hackett, Jim, mm-hmm. Vince Robinson, should not be paid with taxpayers' money to represent the state. Now, in any legal actions, all this other stuff. Obviously, we need to, they've not been deemed to be guilty of anything because the court cases aren't over with, right? Correct?
Right.
Okay, so there's not much we can do to respond to that part of your thing.
I'm wondering about full disclosure, though. Did he even tell you that he was involved in three?
First we heard of it, and I don't know if we need full. I mean, nobody ever has ever demanded full disclosure.
But you would think that you're using taxpayers' money to pay for his services.
Ma'am, we don't even have a disclosure. We don't require. I'm not saying I support this, but the county does not require a disclosure of his clients. We really don't know much about his private business, so we don't know.
I wasn't
now, whether we should or not, that's another question, maybe.
No.
Not his private business. Any business transactions that he does for the county and for the state, okay?
Well, this wasn't for the county, though. What he was doing for you was not county business, though, right?
No, this was private for them. But he represents the county and county government.
But there's nothing, I mean, there's nobody, we are not going to sit here and say, let's fire that man because of something you've told us, because obviously, the court cases have been resolved him of being any kind of, there's no guilt that we could point to right now.
And there's a good chance, going through the court system, I question whether we're going to get a fair and just ruling or not. And if I may just
Chancery
continue.
Court of the state of Delaware is world-renowned. I don't know if they're going to be.
They're in a holding pattern. At least that's a good thing. Judge Noble said it will not be dismissed. So that gives them hope.
Yeah, I mean.
Now, I just need to mention this. September 21st, the Conaway sent a five-page packet with all, some of these exhibits to Sussex County Council Administrator David Baker. Mm-hmm. With no acknowledgement or receipt of the exhibits in the packet, I think I called on Thursday. He wasn't in. He called me back on Friday and said he hadn't found the packet, hadn't seen the packet. Monday morning, I made sure it was hand-delivered. I don't know what has happened to that packet.
What did you expect to happen?
Yeah, that right. He would have at least notified the council members that, you know, all of this is going on, that this is happening to some people who live in Sussex County.
We met at one point. I'm not sure what date it was. I do have a copy of the packet, but I was unclear in my mind how the county's responsibilities fit into this. I viewed it as I don't fully understand it. I didn't then, I don't now.
Right.
But I viewed it as a matter between you and the attorney.
It's much bigger than that. Also, the thing that hurt us so badly was that the packet was lost.